is back out there. Johnson Creek fans happy to see him back. First down and 10 for the Blue Jays. Ball inside the 30-yard line. It's marked right around the 26 of Ithaca after the interception. Sixth possession for the Blue Jays, and they have just less than 2 minutes trying to work it into the goal line. There's the snap, and up for a running play. Owen Blakely cuts back to the left, still going, tripped up, somersault down to around the 15-yard line. One of the Bulldogs, Rowan, kind of tripped up. He went over the top of him. It was kind of like a circus act. Now the players both slow to get up, but they're up and all right. Getting a little frosty out there tonight. And both teams have had what appear to be some slight injuries, some tweaked ankles and whatnot. The Blue Jays driving for what could potentially be a tying score here. Ithaca scoring one touchdown in the first and the second in the early second quarter. And the Blue Jays scoring in the second quarter, trying to score for a second time. Leaving the football game will be Liam Rowan. He limps off to the sidelines for the Bulldogs. Both teams kind of scrambling for the next man up here tonight. All right, first down and 10 to go, a minute 35 remaining in the second quarter. There's the snap from center. Herman rolls to the right side, throws on the run, and the receiver is hit and breaks away. Still going. Wow, down to the 5-yard line. Bulldogs could not wrap up Luke Hartz. They had him for basically no gain, and he shot out of two tackles and moved inside the 10-yard line all the way to around the 6-yard line. Second down and short yardage for the Blue Jays. That play stops the clock with a minute 22 remaining here in the first half. Here's Herman again out of the shotgun. There's the snap. Rolls to the near side. Throws it down near the goal line and incomplete. Threw it just a little bit low, intended for Doug Hartwig. Bulldogs on the play. Isaiah Fargent out in coverage. And that stops the clock with a minute 17 remaining in the second quarter. Third down, short yardage from the Bulldogs' 7-yard line. Ithaca trying to really get that defense honed in here and turn them away late in the half. Blue Jays, the line is set. There's the snap to Herman, handoff for a running play up the gut, and the Bulldogs bring down Hartwig right around the line of scrimmage, but he did get initially an extra inch or so, and it looks like he got it. First down for the Johnson Creek Blue Jays. They're going to move it right around the 6-yard line of Johnson Creek. First and goal. Here comes the snap from center. Hand off, running play for Blakely. Stacked up by the Bulldogs. Down around the 4, there's a flag, and the running back is ushered out of bounds with 51 seconds to play in the first half. We'll see what the flag is about. Looks like a holding penalty against the Blue Jays. So the officials will mark that off. Holding penalty is a 10-yarder, so that helps the Bulldogs' cause a little bit, you would assume, but it seems like Johnson Creek, it always gives them a little bit more space to kind of move around in, and had a penalty earlier and then threw a long pass following that. First and goal to go from the 16-yard line of Ithaca on the 10-yard loss. Clock running now 49 seconds and ticking down in the second. Fake handoff. Herman rolls to the near side. Pretty good protection. Throws complete. 5-yard line. Moving down the goal line and a touchdown for Luke Hartz. Hartz gets the touchdown, 16-yarder. After the INT, the Blue Jays make the Bulldogs pay. Herman back in there, shaking off an injury, and Hartz gets the touchdown. So now the extra point try and tie it up. And Herman is a very excellent kicker, so they're going to go for one probably just about every time. unless they're way behind and needing it. Awaiting the snap from center, placement is made, kick is on the way, and the kick is good. 14-14, 39 seconds remaining in the half. This is high school football from WRCO Sports.
Over 100 years of serving Southwest Wisconsin, all of us at Jones Chevrolet are honored to continue the tradition. We love to help you choose a new Chevrolet. We love to help with maintenance, repairs, and accessories, too. Schedule a service appointment, see our inventory, connect with a sales professional, and get pre-approved for competitive financing at JonesChev.com. Come see the exciting new Chevrolets. Jones Chevrolet, over 100 years of being your Chevy truck headquarters. Chevrolet, together, let's drive.
14-14 the score. Johnson Creek bouncing back to get one in the end zone. And after 14 unanswered points by the Bulldogs, the Blue Jays do the same to Ithaca. We're even at 14. Herman will kick off. The Bulldogs will have 39 seconds to try and work with it. Pretty eventful first half here, I would say. Fans starting to head toward the snack bar. They have a wonderful concession stand here at Johnson Creek. Lots of goodies. Herman on the run with a kick. Ball is going to bound around the 20-yard line and then mishandled by the Bulldogs. Finally picked up. And Garcia Bolin trying to run with the football, brought down right around the 15-yard line. So Houston, I'm not sure he was the intended return man, but he was on the near side and after bobbling a little bit had to go back and get it and then try to bring it out for a couple of yards. And that's where the Bulldogs will have the football. And I would assume possibly at this point might go a little conservative with 34 seconds remaining in the first half. We are tied at 14 here at Johnson Creek. Bill Lee with you on a Friday night, level 2 playoff football and the 11th week of the schedule. Question of the placement of the football, I believe, but they're going to mark it right around the Bulldogs' 14-yard line. Keegan Jones under center, waiting the snap. There it is, and he'll take a knee, and the Bulldogs do indeed go conservative here, not wanting to risk anything. Threw an interception just a little bit ago, and the Blue Jays took advantage. Ithaca, I believe, will have to snap perhaps one more time. Didn't notice the clock when they took it, but I believe he will. Looking back at the back line, Judge, we're down to the final seconds of the first half.
Cody,
and
Cody, Bobby.
No, maybe he won't. Looks like they're going to stay in the huddle, and that'll do it. 14-14 the score. Bulldogs and Johnson Creek in a great one here so far. Both teams have had a couple of touchdowns in a row, and we go to halftime. The score is tied at 14 between the Bulldogs and the Blue Jays. Coming up, the Dairyland Transportation High School Sports Update. And Travis Wilson checks in. We'll have words on the cross-country state meet as well coming up at halftime. You're listening to High School Football from WRCO Radio Sports.
Welcome to the Dairyland Transportation High School Sports Update. Dairyland Transportation of Richland Center knows what it takes to meet the needs of customers in a fast-paced world. It's similar to the commitment high school athletes make. Dairyland Transportation is proud to salute all high school athletes with the Dairyland Transportation High School Sports Update.
This weekend, it's state WIAA cross-country action. Richland Center Ithaca will be represented by Clayton Lee, Ryan Stadler, and Grace Fretz. I talked to head coach Eric Mindum this week.
Were the times pretty good at sectionals?
They were pretty good, especially relative to how difficult the course was. But given the competition, I thought they ran well, and we did have a couple kids run their season best times. So really happy with that.
What about state? You've been there before. You're kind of an old pro now. But what's the course like?
Yeah, I was counting it up. I think this is my 10th time down there to the course. So I can see it in my sleep now. But it's hilly. It's definitely hillier than some of the courses we run around here. But nothing like we've run the last 2 weeks now. So it'll be kind of a nice change of pace for us in a lot of ways. I think that's going to help our qualifiers.
Has the course changed then over the years? Is it pretty much always stay the same?
It's been the same as long as I've been there. So that definitely gives us some help that we know what to expect and where the difficult hills are going to be and where to push it. And as a coach, where to be to see the runners during the race too. That's helpful.
Do you think that it helps Ryan and Clayton as they've had a little experience there?
It absolutely does. I think the biggest thing is not necessarily the course itself, but the experience, that many spectators, that many runners, the competition being that good. So, yeah, you get there once, get the experience. I imagine it only helps going forward. So excited for Grace that she gets to be there at a junior year and the boys that they're back again.
It's kind of the pinnacle. You mentioned that, you know, you start the season, maybe there aren't that many spectators, and all of a sudden here you got people from all over the state, right?
Yeah, you know, Tent City there's probably got 50 to 100 tents.
Oh, my gosh.
So it's definitely a big experience. A lot of people there, rain or shine. So you're never alone on that course. There's always a wall of people cheering you on.
Is there a key? I mean, you know, not starting too early, or is it a key to get out to a good start and get away from the pack?
Yeah, the key at state is definitely different than otherwise. You know, most races you want to kind of hold back a little bit, and that adrenaline can get you out fast. But at state, you have to get out fast. You have to be in it for the mix. There's so many runners in the race, there's not always chance to move around them as the race goes on. So you have to get out quick and in the right spot from the get-go.
Could you talk about your individual runners then, Coach?
Yeah, we'll start with Ryan Stadler. He's kind of been one of the leaders on our boys team. I thought he ran his best race at sectionals. He's a good, he sets a good example. He's got the right habits, full of talent, works hard, can't say enough about him. Clayton Lee, another good kid, bit of a jokester on the team. We need that. That keeps it light from time to time, and he always runs his best when the meets are biggest. Grace is pretty quiet. She's a great leader on the girls team. She does things the right ways. She's really encouraging of all of her teammates, and she holds herself to a high standard, which is why she's running at state, I think. You know, I'll go back to even say Kaylee Peterson setting that standard our team. And even Andrew Honer, who didn't get over that hump and get to state, he really set some standards. So, you know, when we have runners like this that qualify for state and set that bar high, it keeps that keep standards high for the runners that follow. And so,
well, good luck at state.
Yeah, thanks, Phil. Appreciate it.
The coach of the Richland Center Ithaca Cross Country team, Eric Mindum, on the Dairyland Transportation High School Sports Update. Travis Wilson is coming up.
KJ Cold Storage is a warehouse that is locally owned and operated, located in southwest Wisconsin, and is ready to take in and store products in need of refrigeration. KJ Cold Storage is committed to providing a safe, sanitary, and secure storage space. The 50,000 square foot refrigerated facility features 7,680 pallet positions ready to fill and three loading docks to keep drivers moving. Call 739-5085. KJ Cold Storage, all your needs for cold storage.
Travis Wilson from Wisports.net is our guest. Travis, here we go. I think every team's goal is to at least be playing in November, isn't it?
Well, that's a lot of people's goals. I mean, you know, everybody starts in a different spot. Sometimes it's just, you know, win a game against your rival. Maybe it's win a conference championship. Maybe it's make the playoffs. But playing into November is significant, and not everybody gets to do it. I mean, there's only 116 teams playing still this weekend. So if you're playing, you are in pretty elite company. You're doing things the right way. You've had a really good season, and you know, you never know what's going to happen from here on out. So playing in November is big.
You mentioned eight-player football. How do you see the North Crawford Highland game coming up tonight?
Oh, man, that's going to be a great one. Very low scoring the first time around. It'll be interesting to see if it stays that low scoring. I mean, 16-6, I think it was, the first time those two teams played, is much, much lower than most eight-player games that we see. So are the offenses going to be able to break out in this one is one of the key questions. And if so, who does that favor, right? Does that favor either team if it's a higher scoring game than the last time around? It was a good game the last time. It was very competitive. You know, we would love to see that again. And it's great to see high-level eight-player football being played in our area, because for a long time, of course, we did not have really any eight-player football, and the teams that were in the area weren't necessarily, you know, making the playoffs or being involved in kind of that, you know, discussion of top teams. But those are two of the better teams this year. North Crawford had a nice run in the postseason last year, and just good to see.
When you look at games coming up tonight, then, in 11-player football, how do you see a Prairie du Chien's home game?
I really like Prairie du Chien's matchup, to be honest with you. Brookfield Academy is a team out of, obviously, more the Milwaukee area. Has been kind of a, you know, here and there team. They'll make the playoffs, but if they do, generally, it's kind of, as we saw this year, it's a, you know, 4 or 5 seed. They haven't necessarily been one of the better teams in their conference. So I think it sets up well for Prairie du Chien. I think, you know, what Prairie du Chien can do from a physicality standpoint, from especially with Blake Theory and what he can do all over the football field as a running back, as a receiver, as a linebacker, punter, everything else that he does, I think it sets up favorably for Prairie du Chien. So you got to like their chances to move on and continue to represent the SWC.
We talked about some of the first-round games last week and, you know, questioned some of the computer seeding, but there really were some good games. And do you see as many good games this week?
Yeah, I do. Looking back at last week, again, there was a lot of questions about where teams were seeded. And ultimately, you know, some of those that were seeded farther down didn't look that impressive and lost. And if you look overall at the number of lower-seeded teams that won, there was 22 out of 112 in 11-player football, which is about the average of what we see over the number of years. That's not the be-all, end-all way to evaluate if the seeding is effective, but it was, you know, it was about normal. You're always going to have upsets no matter what seeding formula or seeding process you have. And it was in line with what we've seen before. Even the, at least by seed, the biggest upset of the week with number 8 Belleville taking down number 1 Cambridge. I mean, Cambridge was undefeated during the regular season. It's not like if, you know, coaches had seeded it that Cambridge would somehow have been a, you know, a 3 or a 4 or farther down. And quite honestly, it's not like Belleville would have been probably much higher than they were. Belleville played a pretty tough schedule. I think 6 or 7 of their opponents in the regular season were playoff teams, but they just weren't able to get enough wins or, you know, able to get wins. They were competitive in a lot of those games, but it was just one of those that, you know, there was a team that was close a lot of the season, finally put it together and put it together in a big way. It was a 27-0 shutout that Belleville had over Cambridge. But again, ultimately, things kind of played out as we expected, and I think certainly it sets up for some really interesting and compelling games this week.
Potosi-Cassville and Blackhawk Warren, as advertised, that was quite a barn burner last week too, wasn't it?
It was, and again, unfortunate that those teams had to meet when they did. Unfortunate that Blackhawk Warren is sitting at home when, quite honestly, I think they're certainly a top 10, if not top 5 team in 8-player football, and they showed it again last week. It was 7-6, Potosi-Cassville over Blackhawk Warren. Both teams scored early, and then the defenses took over from there. So, yeah, unfortunate that Blackhawk Warren is not continuing. I thought that whoever came out of that game really stood a good chance to make a pretty deep playoff run. And in fact, I have Potosi-Cassville making it all the way to the state championship game, because now this week they get Cochrane Fountain City, a team out of the Dairyland Conference that really hasn't been that strong of a league over the last few years. And then on the other side of the bracket, you've got Bangor and River Ridge. Bangor, of course, lost to Ithaca, finished, you know, kind of a distant second in the Scenic Bluffs Conference this year. And then River Ridge comes out of the Six Rivers as well, a very strong league. So it sets up well now that Potosi-Cassville did get past that initial game to really make a run.
What about your game of the week?
Quick Trip and Wisconsin Dairy game of the week is going to be in Division 5, a really interesting one in terms of very different programs. Milwaukee Academy of Science has only been around for 4 or 5 years as a football program. They won their first ever postseason game last week, comes out of the Milwaukee area, as opposed to Darlington, who one of the storied programs in the state, 80-some playoff victories in their history, physical running the football team, small school, rural Wisconsin. Academy of Science is going to come in with a number of athletes that can really do some damage throughout the skill positions on offense, including Josiah Johnson, who's one of the top running backs in the state. So a really interesting game. Again, a very different types of teams in terms of where they come from, what their history is, but looking forward to that one. Colton Wilson will be at that one as the game of the week.
And your Reedsburg Beavers.
We won last week. It was a wild, wild game. One of the more amazing games I've been at. We scored every time we had the football except for the final kneel down. We ran for 611 yards, which is believed to be in the top five all time. But it was still a battle. 62-48 was the final score. But Whitnall had more than 600 yards of offense as well. They had 573 passing yards from their junior quarterback, Tanner Efforts, which is tied for fourth all-time in state history. The more than 1,200 combined yards of offense between the two teams is in the top five all-time in most combined yards. So it was a track meet, different ways about it. We were hitting big play after big play on the running game. In fact, we did not attempt a pass and ran for 611 yards. A wild game to be a part of, but a good one for the Beavers to get a win in. I want to say it was 1,238 was the combined yardage between the two teams. They actually outgained us overall, but we were able to get a few stops. They were not, and that was the difference.
Looking at some of the other awards, and I checked on your website, wizsports.net, and I know players are up for the various awards. The Crum Rye Award is one of them that comes to mind. How do players get nominated for that, Travis?
I make the selections, ultimately. The Senior Football Awards that we do, something we've been doing for, I don't know, 12 or 15 years now, a fun way to recognize some of the top seniors in the state. They are named after, you know, significant person in state. The quarterback award is the Dave Craig Award. Dave Craig went to D.C. Everest High School, Milton College, played in the NFL for a long time. You got the Al Toon Award, Joe Thomas Award, et cetera. Try to recognize the top kids. We try to keep to a top five or a five finalists for each award. Sometimes it's a little tough and I cheat and take the easy way out and do six or seven. But, it's a fun way to recognize kids. The winners of those awards will be announced the week of the state finals. And a tough process, to be honest with you, to narrow it down because there's so many really, really good kids and so many kids that had outstanding seasons that it's hard to recognize all of them. Ultimately, have to make a cut somewhere, and that's not an easy process. And sometimes, you know, understandably, coaches or players or fans are a little upset that their player wasn't a finalist, and certainly there's strong arguments for some of those, but at some point you got to make that cut down.
Well, we hit November, and I'm guessing you're starting previews for basketball, aren't you?
Basketball season's just around the corner. We're what, 2 weeks, I think, away, or a week away from the start of girls' basketball practices, so Norbert Durst will be starting to crank out some girls' content here shortly. On the boys' side, Colton Wilson is handling our previews for this year, so conference previews have already started. For boys basketball, you can check those out at wisports.net. And there will be some more preseason information coming out as we build up to the start of those winter sports seasons.
Sounds good, Travis. Enjoy the games this week. Good luck.
Sounds good. Thanks, Phil.
Travis Wilson from wisports.net here on WRCO Sports.
Wirtz Plumbing and Heating provides plumbing services from routine maintenance to new construction and remodeling jobs. We are able to assist in augering sewers, repairing water leaks on piping and faucets, to installing or repairing water heaters, and our list goes on. Wanting to upgrade your kitchen or bathroom fixtures? Maybe expanding your bathroom or converting your tub to a walk-in shower. Call us today to schedule a free estimate, 647-6345.
And good evening. This is Tim Thede for WRCO Sports, and we got some exciting Level 2 football action going on. And thank you for listening to Ithaca at Johnson Creek. That score is tied up at 14 at the half. Elsewhere in Division 7, River Ridge is leading Bangor 14-0. Potosi Cassville leads Cochran Fountain City 35-0. All these scores are at the half, by the way. Lancaster leads Cuba City 14-7. Belleville leading Marshall, 14-7 as well. 43-0, Prairie du Chien is beating up on Brookfield Academy. It is Darlington and Milwaukee Academy of Science in a tight one, 23-22. Darlington leads that one. Aquinas leads Lodi 8-0. It's Columbus leading West Salem 14-7. Reedsburg leading Catholic Memorial by a score of 13-7. And Mount Hoare Barneveld 17, Waterford nothing. We'll send it out to Ithaca and Phil Nee after this.
Well, looks like your water's gone dry again, huh?
Oh, shucks. This old pump's been sputtering around like a mule stuck in mud.
Sounds like you need Advanced Pump and Well Solutions in Richland Center. Whether it's a pesky pump or a dry well, their team has over 50 years of hands-on experience. They'll have your water flowing faster than a rainstorm in July.
Well, that's a relief. I can finally stop taking bucket baths.
Ooh, that's good. Advanced Pump and Well Solutions, servicing residential, agricultural, and commercial systems 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. Call 649-4488.
Yeehaw! That's my kind of service.
14-14, our score here at halftime. The Bulldogs and Johnson Creek locked up in a good level 2 WIAA playoff football game. The Bulldogs scored the first touchdown on a 24-yard pass from Keegan Jones to Wes Nelson. Baltasar Kaiser's kick made it 7-0. Later, Wes Nelson with a 3-yard touchdown run. Kaiser's kick put them up 14-0. That was with 9 minutes, 6 seconds left in the half. Johnson Creek has bounced back with Tanner Herman throwing to Luke Hartz, a pass play that covered some 21 yards. And later on, their second touchdown of the quarter, Herman to Hartz again, tied it up at 14 with 39 seconds remaining. And that's where we stand here as we get ready to enter the third quarter of action here on WRCO.com. Glad you joined us for the action. Again, we apologize because we've had some technical difficulties at our tower again, started by heavy winds yesterday, which kind of started the domino effect. But we appreciate listening wherever you're listening tonight on the Civic Media app or WRCO.com. And here we go. Second half kickoff, Bulldogs receive. And here's the approach. Scooted on the ground by Johnson Creek, bobbled by the Bulldogs, but now picked up back around the 20-yard line up to the 25 on a return now by Ethan Berkram. And he's brought down at the 30-yard line. That's where the Bulldogs will take over for their first series of the second half. Bulldogs offensive line led by center Matt Beef. The left guard is Cody Burns. The right guard is Houston Garcia Bolin. The right tackle is Ben Otto and Dalton Eim, the left tackle. In the backfield, the quarterback is Keegan Jones. The running back includes Wesley Nelson and Wyatt Hilby, Nolan Waldner, the tight end, and wide receivers also include Caden Keller and Ethan Berkram. First down and 10 for the Bulldogs. Johnson Creek digging in here on the defensive side. Snap is to the running back. They're going to run it off to the right side. Nolan Waldner rolls ahead for about a 10-yard gain. Crosses the 40 to the 41-yard line. So they snapped it directly to Rowan. And he moves it out. They don't quite give him a first down. 9.5 yards. They mark it short of the 40-yard line. So we are ready to roll here. Second half, we understand WRCO FM 100.9 back on the air as well. Thanks to Bo and Drew for their good work. And we are ready for, is it a measurement? Whistles had blown it dead for a second. Nope. We will proceed. Second down and short yardage to go for the Bulldogs. Snap again to Rowan, coming to the near side. Nowhere to go. Spun around for a loss. And a good coverage there by Johnson Creek. Luke Hartz, one of the first guys there, bringing down Nolan Waldner for a loss of a yard or so. So third down, a full yard for the Bulldogs. They must get to the 40-yard line. Johnson Creek's offense certainly kind of wrapped around and got going, but their defense as well has been able to kind of make the Bulldogs stumble. Third down and a yard. Jones back in at quarterback looking it over. There's the snap. Handoff running play and pushing. It's a first down for the Bulldogs across the 41 to around the 43-yard line. Ball carrier was number 23, Liam Rowan, and the sticks move on. Great snack bar here at Johnson Creek. The featured item, which I did try when I got here tonight, They're billing it as funeral cheesy potatoes, the kind that you have at a funeral dinner, I presume. Hopefully they're not deadly. No, just kidding. 14 apiece here in this third quarter of action. Both teams have reeled off 14 straight points. The Bulldogs the first, and then Johnson Creek the second to do it. Snap to Keegan Jones, rolling, now throwing, and it is incomplete. And it was right around the 50-yard line. Pass intended for Nolan Waldner, defended by Jackson Robbie. Second down and 10 yards to go for the Bulldogs. Tim Thede gave you some scores from around the leagues. Certainly lots of good ones going on. The Bulldogs or Johnson Creek would advance next week to play either Kenosha St. Joseph or Cambria Friesland. Second down and 10 yards to go for the Bulldogs. Ball resting on their own 43. Pitch, and the running back dropped it, and it's loose, and Johnson Creek has it. Ball popped loose from the near side, and let's see, recovered by number one, Aiden Smith. And a big break for Johnson Creek. They intercepted a pass earlier, and this is a fumble recovery, and they'll get it in Bulldog territory at the 44-yard line. Best starting position of the night for Johnson Creek. So first and 10 for Herman and the offense. Awaiting the snap, Danner will take it out of the shotgun. Hands off. Running play off left tackle, moving for a few yards, is Owen Blakely. Got to the 40 to the 39 of the Bulldogs. Tanner Herman intercepted the ball earlier. That set up Johnson Creek's second touchdown. And this one, a fumble in Bulldog territory. Johnson Creek trying to take full advantage. 9:30 remaining in the third quarter of high school level 2 football tonight. Second down play, there's the snap. Hand off for running play, left side, cutting back to the near side is Blakely, and he rolls across the 35 to the 34. Good extra effort before he is brought down by Ethan Berkrum. That's a first down for Johnson Creek, and the sticks move on. Boy, how quickly momentum changed in this game. The Bulldogs could do no wrong, and they were kind of dominating and being physical, and now it's kind of going the other way. First and 10. Hand off for a running play. Cutting right. Nowhere to go. Now cutting left and moving a few yards upfield is the running back. He gets about 8 yards on the carry, Owen Blakely. That'll bring up second down. We'll give him 7 on that one. Ball just shy of the 25-yard line of Ithaca. Johnson Creek running downhill during this possession. One man wide right. That's Robbie. Here's the snap to Herman. Makes the handoff now, throws it complete to Hart. Hart turns downfield, and he's ushered out of bounds. It looks like he got enough for a first down. Waldner pushes him out of bounds. First down for Johnson Creek at the Ithaca 21-yard line. Johnson Creek trying to keep the ball rolling here. Their first possession of the second half. Bulldogs trying to dig in. Hand off to the running back. That is Blakely trying to go up center. And he's got a couple to the 20-yard line. Second down and 8 yards to go for Johnson Creek. It is a frosty one here at Johnson Creek as it was a year ago. Just really impressed by the number of Bulldog fans lining up. There's ample bleacher space on the far side, and those bleachers are pretty well full. Second down, man in motion for Johnson Creek. Ball right around the 20-yard line, Ithaca. There's the snap, wraparound handoff, and the running back taking his time and pushes his way all the way to the 15-yard line. Pretty good blocks all the way for the Johnson Creek line. Tackle made by Wyatt Hilby. So it's going to bring up third down from the 15-yard line of Ithaca. Third and about 3 yards to go. Johnson Creek trying to keep the drive alive here. Bulldogs trying to fill the gap. Running play left, going back right. He's got some room, and he's going down to the 5, down to the goal line, and a touchdown for Luke Hart. And Johnson Creek takes the lead. Blue Jays, for the second straight time, take advantage of an Ithaca turnover. And Luke Hart runs it in. There was nothing fancy about that play, just kind of right up the middle, but then he did a good job when he got on the open field of cutting around the would-be tacklers. So this one comes at 7:04 in the third. Johnson Creek will try for the extra point. Luke Hartz is the holder. Tanner Herman, the kicker. There's the snap. Placement is made. Kick is on the way. And it's high enough and good enough. And that makes it 21-14. Johnson Creek leading the Ithaca Bulldogs. 7:04 remaining in the third. High school playoff football from WRCO and WRCO.com.
Since 1974, Templin AgriBuilders has been at your service for barn remodeling, machine sheds, calf or young cattle housing, garages, and homes. Talk with Templin AgriBuilder soon at 585-3101. The Templin crew builds the finest pool buildings for farm, commercial, and home, plus siding, roofing, and cement work. Get it done right and get it done local. Call 585-3101 for a free estimate. Templin AgriBuilders, ready to go to work for you.
21-14, Johnson Creek leading the Ithaca Bulldogs here in playoff football. 7 minutes and 4 seconds remaining in the third. And Tanner Herman will kick off. The Bulldogs have had some opportunities, but again, kind of turning the ball over a couple of times, and Johnson Creek taking advantage both times. Something the Bulldogs were fighting against, trying to control the clock and control the ball, and there's an onside kick, and it goes 10 yards, and it bounds around. It's loose. Johnson Creek is saying that they got it. I believe Johnson Creek touched it before it went 10 yards, though. That's what the Ithaca contingent will be arguing. Johnson Creek is saying they have it at the 50-yard line, and there's been no signal by the official. Ithaca, let's see now. They're pointing to the Bulldogs. Unless they pointed to the wrong side, the officials talking about it. It has to go 10 yards before the kicking team can touch it, right? Yeah, they touched it before 10 yards. It was clear. And I think that's what Ithaca is arguing here. Otherwise, it was a well-executed kick, but you can't do that. You've got to give the defensive team the opportunity. And now they're clearing both sides backwards. But the ball was touched probably about 9 yards away, right before it got to the 50-yard line. And one of the Bulldogs was there trying to scramble for the football. Boy, I'll tell you what, and I've been involved back in the dark ages with some of those. Boy, it's anybody's ball game when you do an onside kick. They're scrambling and scraping, scrapping, trying to get the ball. And Johnson Creek did recover. So the officials, after much talk, are going to wave it off. Nope, they're not. They're going to give it to Johnson Creek. I thought for a moment they were going to have them re-kick it, but Johnson Creek will take over after an onside kick that they call legal, and that'll make it their second possession of the second half after the kick. This is at the 50-yard line, awaiting the snap from center is Herman. Herman hands off, running play off the right tackle, pulls his way to the 45-yard line before he is stopped by number 60, Caden Women Company. So a good gain of about 5 yards for the Blue Jays. Ball marked at the 45-yard line of Ithaca. 6:43 remaining. They've had the ball the majority of minutes here in the third quarter. Herman operates out of the shotgun. Will take the snap around the 50. Hand off a running play off left tackle. Moving his way to the 43 is Blakely. Gain of about 2 yards. Several Bulldogs on the stop. Coleman again at the bottom of the pile. Third down at about 4 yards to go for Johnson Creek. Johnson Creek will line up online. Again, taking a little time off, leading by a touchdown after taking the lead on their first possession of this second half. Third down play. There's a low snap, and Herman fakes the throw, and now running, throws it out to the far side, and the official, or I should say the receiver, catches it just in front of the official and moves to the 45, and it's actually a loss of about a yard on the pass play for Johnson Creek. So fourth down from the 45-yard line coming up here for Johnson Creek. Bulldogs are hoping to get it back, although at this point, Blue Jays might be looking at going for it again on fourth down. Herman is the punter, and he's backing off a little bit right now. So you can expect anything, and he doesn't go back the traditional length of time and space, and he will step up now, runs, and then punts it, and punts it way inside the 10-yard line, rolls into the end zone. Bulldogs will get it back at the 20-yard line. A couple of players going at it for Johnson Creek and the Bulldogs. So whistle sounds, and now they're going to come to the near side and assist the situation. Looked like after the play, somebody went over the top of somebody. There was a little bit of pushing and shoving going on. And so the officials will assess that. The ball, as it stands, is at the 20-yard line. Personal foul on Johnson Creek. So that was the case. Again, a little bit of extracurriculars, and when you look at that, you sometimes worry that the person that reciprocated is the one that is going to be called against, but that's not the case here. Johnson Creek assist with the 15-yarder, which will start at the Bulldog 20 and move it out to around the 35-yard line for the Bulldogs. Oh, wait a minute. First time they said the Blue Jays, and now they say the Bulldogs. They point the wrong way. What's going on here? Yeah, okay, it is. It is against the Blue Jays. They did point to Ithaca, though. Everybody in the Ithaca stand starts getting a little bit loud, and they pointed the wrong direction. Fortunately for Ithaca, moves it out to around the 35-yard line. Get a lot of penalties in this game, especially when we started tonight. There were quite a few. So Ithaca will start for its second possession on its own 35-yard line. 21-14, Johnson Creek in the lead, 5:12 remaining here in the third quarter. The Bulldogs up to the football. Two men wide to the left side. Jones under center, the snap from Neve. Hand off, and Rowan goes to the right side off right tackle and piles his way to the 40-yard line. That's a gain of 4 yards. Several on the stop for the Blue Jays, led by Evan Malig. Second down play, 7 yards to go. Bulldogs in committee right now. A lot of people out on their best winter garb tonight. Lots of stocking hats. It's classic weather for playoff football. Bulldogs trying to come back in this one. 4:35 remaining in the third, 21-14, Johnson Creek. Jones completes a pass. Keller on the near side catches. He's going to go nowhere, though, brought down around the 40-yard line. So a gain of maybe a yard on the pass play, and he is brought down by a host of Blue Jays. That was a league again, and it's third down for the Bulldogs, and just less than 5 yards to go for a first down. Ithaca must get to the 45 for a first down. Clock rolling down to 4 minutes remaining here in the third quarter. Bulldogs up to the football. Third down play. Ithaca rounding it out around the 40-yard line. Jones claps his hands, backs up to the 35. Steps up, throws, and it's Keller, and it's going to be incomplete. Herman with the play. Keller was basically double-teamed right there, and a fourth down is coming up for the Bulldogs. So that'll bring up a decision for the Bulldogs right here, trailing by a touchdown, 3:40 remaining in the third quarter. It appears the Bulldogs will punt it away. Blue Jays have a man back around the 30-yard line. Here's the snap, and this one has just gotten away by the Bulldogs. It's going to be fair caught at the 30-yard line. So the punch by Devin Eim backup punter for the Bulldogs, and the Blue Jays will take it over. So the Bulldogs with a punt on their second possession after a fumble on their first possession. And the Blue Jays take over on their own 30-yard line. 3:33 remaining here in the third quarter. 21-14. Johnson Creek in the lead tonight. River Ridge leads Bangor 27-0. Bangor, the number one seed up there. I think that would raise some eyebrows, especially in Ithaca country. First and 10 for the Blue Jays. There's the snap from center. Fake handoff by Herman, rolls, throws down the run, and it's knocked away. Good defense by the Bulldogs. Houston Garcia-Bolin, well played. Tapped the ball away, and a pass intended for Doug Hartwig. Second down and 10 for Johnson Creek. Stops the clock with 3:28 remaining in the third quarter. Potosi Castle up on Cochran Fountain City, 49-0. Across Logan, leading on Alaska, 16-6 among the scores on the Filney flip phone, sponsored by Y-Connect Wireless. Second down and 10 to go for the 31, Johnson Creek. Back to throw. They're going to kick one to the near side. Intercepted by the Bulldogs. And out of bounds around the 30-yard line. Keegan Jones picks it off for the Bulldogs. Nice pick. And the Bulldogs force Johnson Creek to their first turnover. Ah, nice job. Keegan Jones and company, and the Bulldogs take over for their third possession. First interception thrown by Herman, and the Bulldogs threw one earlier. They've given up a fumble, and now Johnson Creek gives the Bulldogs some prime-time field position. Ball is on the Johnson Creek 31-yard line to start this drive. Bulldogs trail by a touchdown, 21-14. There's the snap. They snap it directly to number 21, Nolan Waldner, and he breaks ahead down to the 25 to the 24-yard line. Tackle made by Johnson Creek's Doug Hartwig. Second down and 3 yards to go for the Bulldogs. Down to 3 minutes remaining in the third quarter. Ithaca up to the football now. Ball resting on the 24-yard line of Johnson Creek. Jones, no, it's going to be Waldner. Takes the snap, runs off right tackle. He's got a first down down the sideline. And he is gone for a touchdown. Bulldogs score and get within one. Nolan Waldner taking the snap. And the direct snap running down the right side. And a 21-yard touchdown for the Bulldogs. Great play after the interception by Keegan Jones. Now the extra point. Kaiser is out to try and do the honors and tie this one up. This score comes with 2:40 remaining in the third. Snap, placement, kick is on the way, and the kick is good. And we are tied. 21 apiece here in Johnson Creek. Hey, what a ball game for a second week in a row. Stay with us. More coming up from WRCO and WRCO.com.
The Richland County Telephone Directory is your local guide to the people, places, and things you need. They've got you covered from A to Z. Whether you're looking for someone, someplace, or something, turn to the Richland County Telephone Directory and get connected. At your fingertips and easy to browse 365 days a year. The Richland County Telephone Directory, the only phone book you'll need in Southwest Wisconsin. Call 647-3388 for more information about the Richland County Telephone Directory.
The trees on your land are a valuable asset, and keeping them properly managed is a big responsibility. The staff at Meister Log & Lumber has been buying logs and standing timber in Southwest Wisconsin since 1936. Meister's professional forest management team will help you meet your timber's potential. A win-win for all, as landowners receive green for the logs and Mother Nature stays green as well. Give professional timber manager Toby Witkowski a call at Meister Log & Lumber, 608-434-4413.
Bulldogs approach after the touchdown, and there's the kick. Ball is going to be taken right around the 15-yard line. Johnson Creek with a pretty good hole. 30, 35. Uh-oh, they're down the sideline. 50, down to the 45, to the 43 of Ithaca. Finally brought down by Caden Coleman and company, and Margin and Waldner. Good return for Johnson Creek. So they're going to start for their fourth possession of the half. Again, in great field position at the Ithaca 41-yard line. 2:30 remaining in the third quarter. We're tied at 21 here in Johnson Creek at Glover Field. Exciting football game for the second week in a row in the playoffs. Danner Herman awaits the snap from center. There it is. Hand off a running play right up the gut for the running back, and he's going to bolster his way with a good extra push across 35 down to the 34. Jackson Robbie, the running back. Garcia Bolin helping out of the stop, along with Isaiah Farchin. Second down and about 3 yards to go. We're down to 2:10 remaining here in the third quarter. Herman takes the snap. Handoff running play going left side. Owen Blakely stacked up by the Bulldogs. And a flag. Nope, he was going to throw a flag and brings it back. The official pulled out the flag. Not sure what he saw, if he thought it was possibly a holding or whatever, but the Bulldogs stack him up. Good job on that right side of the defensive line. Wesley Nelson coming over to help the cause. Third down and about 3 yards to go for the Bulldogs, 35. Awaiting the snap. There is Herman. Hands off. Running play, and he's going to fight his way down to the 31. It appears it's about for a first down. Caden Coleman, Isaiah Fargin, and Liam Rowan on the tackle. That is enough for a Johnson Creek first down. Down to a minute 20 remaining in the third. Tie football game here. 21 apiece in level 2 WIAA football. Herman takes the snap and off a running play. Piling over the pile is Jackson Robbie. Got to the 28 of Ithaca. Wesley Nelson on the stop, and Wyatt Hilby behind him. That'll bring up a second down, 7 yards to go for Johnson Creek in Ithaca territory at the 28-yard line. Down to 50 seconds remaining in the quarter. Here comes the snap. Hand off. Nope. Quarterback keeps it. Look at, he is wide open. He's going to walk down the sidelines all the way for a touchdown. Boy, the Bulldogs bit on that one. He faked the handoff, and then Herman ran around the right side. Nobody even saw him. He snuck down the sidelines for a touchdown. And Johnson Creek takes the lead, 27-21. That score comes with 37 seconds here in the third quarter. Tanner Herman. Wow, he sold that one good. Well, the holder for the Blue Jays is Luke Hart. Herman is the kicker. There's the snap. Placement is made. Kick is on the way. And the kick is good. So Johnson Creek takes a 28-21 lead on Tanner Herman's run. That one going from the 21 of the Bulldogs. So, wow. This one started out as a defensive battle, and now it's turned into a scoring frenzy. And Johnson Creek has had a number of those this year. Looking at their scores this year, part of the Trailways Conference, but 34 in the first week against Marshall, 41 against Lord's Academy, 43 against Palmyra Eagle, 50 against Dodgeland, Cambria Friesland, they scored 48, 52 against Parkview Albany, and Randolph, a total of 43. Bulldogs have had their share of high scores. They had 42 against Cashton, 37 against Nisida, 48 against New Lisbon this year. But this one is turning into be a high-scoring affair as well. 28-21, and we're only in the third quarter. 37 seconds remaining in this third frame. Blue Jays will kick off. This game starting to a little bit resemble last year as well. Herman with the approach, and there is the end over end. It's going to be bounding around the 20, then goes out of bounds, and we'll come back to the 35-yard line for the Bulldogs. For their fourth possession of the half, I think it will take over at its own 35-yard line. Just 37 seconds remaining here in this third quarter. So two touchdowns in the third for Johnson Creek and one for Ithaca. Bulldogs out. They'll look things over. Jones in at quarterback. Although Nolan Waldner has taken several snaps at the position as well, but Jones will be in at quarterback as we start out here now after the kickoff, and it's first and 10 Bulldogs from their own 35-yard line. Neath the center is down. There's the snap. Hand off for a running play. Fighting for a couple of yards is the running back. That is Wyatt Hilde. He hasn't run the ball for a while. He gets about a yard. Second down and 9 yards to go for Ithaca. Clock running. 23 seconds remaining here in the third quarter. We'll see what the Bulldogs decide to do as the quarter starts to tick down. They're not going to run another play. That'll do it for three quarters, and Johnson Creek leading this wild one 28-21 over the Bulldogs. Fourth quarter is coming up next here on WRCO FM 100.9 and online at WRCO.com.
At the Richland Hospital and Clinics, we understand the lifestyle changes that come with a new diabetes diagnosis can feel overwhelming. We are here to help. Our team of dedicated certified diabetes care and education specialists is ready to work with you to share knowledge, support you, and help you set attainable goals. Reach out now to learn how the Richland Hospital and Clinics can help you live your healthiest life.
Since 1986, Lime Ridge Ag has been a partner with livestock and crop growers in the area. They have also helped support the community, schools, organizations, and people in need. And the primary ability for them to give back is with the support the community has shown them. Thanks for nearly 40 years of feeding your dairy, your hogs and beef, your poultry, pets, horses, and show animals. Thanks for the opportunity to provide agronomy-based products as well as feed and grain handling equipment. Lime Ridge Ag, helping grow nutritionally sound beef, pork, and dairy products.
They are doing the jump around here at Johnson Creek. Third quarter entering the fourth. And here we go. 28-21, Johnson Creek's Blue Jays leading the Ithaca Bulldogs. Here on WRCO, the Bulldogs will take over after the quarter ended. Second down and 9 yards to go from the 36-yard line. Jones is back to throw. Good protection. Throws over the middle. Incomplete. Intended for Caden Keller at the 50-yard line, defended by A.J. Whitehouse, and that brings up third down and 9 yards to go for the Bulldogs. Ithaca's had a pretty good history of playoff games over the years. Level 3 in 2015 would get there if they would win tonight. And they've had some wild ones. I remember we were talking about a game at Burlington Catholic Central. It was Dan Rice's last head coaching game. But that was a while when the Bulldogs lost, but certainly a memorable close game. Here's a throw from behind the line of scrimmage. A little pitch and run. The ball is loose and picked up on the near side, and Johnson Creek may have it. The Bulldogs went with a little trickery play. Looked like a little hook and ladder attempt. They threw it out to the nearest man there was Houston Garcia Boland, and the Blue Jays recover the fumble. Wow. Bulldogs going with a little bit of a gamble. Good sportsmanship for the Blue Jays. Aiden Smith helping up Houston Garcia Boland, who is injured on the play. And now as he heads off to the sidelines, and then he goes down to the ground, he is going to be tended to by the officials, and now by Coach Kelly, who comes out, and the training staff here. So just underway in the fourth quarter. Some of the games that we've been keeping track of are already done, but that's because they had a running clock. Prairie du Chien beats Brookfield Academy tonight, 56-0, the final score. Aquinas leading Lodi, 39-0. That's in the fourth quarter. Milwaukee Academy of Science, 30-29 over Darlington, third quarter. Wow, might be a little bit of a surprise there. Belleville 21-7 over Marshall in the fourth quarter. Lancaster 20, Cuba City 7. That is in the fourth quarter. Ridge beats Bangor tonight, 27-0, the final score. Here in Johnson Creek, 28-21. Johnson Creek leading, and the Bulldogs have fumbled it away. This is their third big turnover of the night. Johnson Creek gets the ball back. That will be at the 35 of Ithaca. Wow. Big break again for Johnson Creek on a miscue by the Bulldogs. There's the snap, wraparound handoff, and the running back pulls his way to the 30. Gain of about 5 yards. Straight ahead run. And the Bulldogs, Wyatt Hilby, makes the stop. Helped up by his teammates. Boy, Wyatt trying to gut it out here tonight. And it's